and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley. This WDIY program is presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. First, I'd like to welcome our co-hosts, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, its Managing Director. Hi, folks.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So on tonight's episode, we're going to take a look at the highway that has helped shape the Lehigh Valley that we know today. We all love or hate it. It's Route 22. Route 22 turned 70 on September 21st, 2 weeks ago. So we're celebrating its triumphs, addressing its many challenges, and talking about where we see it going from here as the region grows and its busiest road reaches capacity. Joining us as our guest is Lehigh Valley historian Frank Whelan. Frank was once the Assistant State Archivist for Missouri and a historian for the Lehigh County Historical Society. He was a feature writer for the Morning Call newspaper for 25 years. He's a co-author of the Bethlehem Steel book, Forging America, and the Arcadia book, Hess's Department Store. Since 2009, he's written a weekly feature for WFMZ Channel 69 called History's Headlines. Frank proudly agrees with the late President Harry S. Truman that the only thing that is truly new in the world is the history you haven't read yet. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you.
Matt, why don't we start with you? So as I said earlier, Route 22 is one of those roads that people either love or hate. How do you see it?
So I know I'm in the minority, but I am a fan. You know, I know a lot of people associate the road with traffic jams and trucks, but in reality, think about getting from one end of the Lehigh Valley to the other without it. You know, anyone who's lived in an urban setting knows we don't really have real traffic here. And I know a lot of people will throw tomatoes at me for that. I grew up in Pittsburgh, but
it's not LA traffic, right?
It is not LA traffic. It's not, you know, in Pittsburgh, it is not the parkway, which gridlocks every single day for hours and hours, or the Schuylkill, which everybody knows gridlocks for, you know, Route 22, for the most part, is 10 minutes at one point. It's largely doing what it was built to do, which is kind of efficiently get people through the region. That said, it is 7 decades old, has lots of parts that were engineered and built before many people came here, when we had half the cars and half the population. So it has a lot of needs. We have to be really intentional about how we address those needs, you know, so it never becomes the parkway, so it never becomes Schuylkill Expressway. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what has to be done. But I count me as a fan. I am a fan of 22.
Okay, that's a good perspective. I do appreciate that it does not have the traffic as some of our other cities. Becky, you have often called Route 22 the Lehigh Valley's Main Street. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at our land use patterns, I'm going to totally, you know, nerd out here in the planner way. Route 22 actually served as the region's economic development corridor pretty much since its inception. So as soon as it was laid out and then built, a lot of development occurred to the north and to the south of it. And so then when they put in I-78, it filled in almost completely between 22 and 78. But you really see the majority of the development in the Lehigh Valley, at least, you know, up until recently when, you know, things have grown exponentially very quickly. But by and large, the Lehigh Valley's development pattern has centered around Route 22. As a result of that, you're going to have more vehicles because you have more people trying to get from place to place, goods also trying to move from point to point. And so that's really the key reason why I call it the Lehigh Valley's Main Street. And by the way, it takes more vehicles than any other road in the region. In fact, last month, it took 110,125 vehicles a day, if that gives you any indication of how much traffic is on that road, which, by the way, is a lot higher than what we see on I-78. And that's labeled as an interstate, not a state route. So, you know, we really do have it as the region's major corridor for moving things locally. But now it's also serving other roles to connect to 33 and to other regions. It used as a mobility corridor between New Jersey and the Lehigh Valley more frequently.
Right. So that's definitely one of the busiest main streets I've ever seen. Does the Planning Commission track how many vehicles travel this road every day?
Yes, we do, in partnership with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. In fact, there are permanent counters in the road at several locations east of 33 and 22 interchange in Northampton County. And then there's a permanent counter between Airport Road and the Lehigh River Bridge. So we know exactly how many vehicles are going through there every single day and the type of vehicles, their speeds as well. There's a lot of information that's collected by the counters, and that helps us with safety planning, congestion management work that we do with PennDOT and the U.S. Department of Transportation, local governments around there, and even businesses.
And to give you an idea how traffic has increased there, if you go back to 1957, which is when the first counters were done, it had 21,000 vehicles at the Airport Road interchange, and now it's 110. So it is five times more cars.
Wow. So you mentioned, Becky, that it was part of the economic development that was happening in the region. How important is this highway still to our local economy?
It's everything. If it's taking the most vehicles, that means it's moving the most people and the most goods, right? And if you don't have mobility, you don't have an economy. And I think that's the real benefit of Route 22. And that's why we need to continue investing in maintaining it and doing improvements where we can.
Frank, thank you for joining us. Most of us don't recall life in the Lehigh Valley before Route 22. How did people get through the region before this was constructed?
Well, actually, Lehigh Valley had a very good interurban system in the first half of the 20th century. And it could take you all into the rural areas of Lehigh County. It was very efficient at that time, and a lot of people took it. But it gradually, the automobile was on the rise as a method of transportation. And so by the 1920s, you already had people complaining about the kind of a pressure on the system. Now, of course, two things happened that prevented there from being more motor transportation outside the cities, and that was the Great Depression and World War II. And, of course, in World War II, you had gas rationing and all kinds of things. But actually, a lot of people at that time were beginning to wonder, didn't we really need a highway? The Lehigh Valley Motor Club was already in 1949 anticipating this by going to the federal government through the state and saying we're going to need some highways here in the Lehigh Valley soon. And so that was what happened eventually. But if you go back to the earliest days of the Lehigh Valley, I guess the William Penn Highway, which was created in 1916, was the first real leg of what became part of Route 22. It was considered okay, but people by the 1950s, and this is reflected in the newspaper at the time, the Morning Call, the editors were talking about the dead-end highways and the possibility of people not getting there in time and all sorts of things. It was just, said it was a dangerous road. Farmer Brown was crossing the road with his sheep and goats and cattle, and this was implied. I don't know how true that was, but if you got out beyond the city limits, between Allentown West to Harrisburg, then you had a lot of rural space. So the state went ahead and they built it. This is even before Eisenhower, which in 1956 put in the interstate system, began work towards the interstate system. This was 1954, and there was a spectacular event. The governor was here. All the mayors of Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, in the governor's open Cadillac, and there was a drizzle rain falling at the same time, but that didn't stop them. So they took it out to ABE, to the airport, and it was like a big, big spectacular thing. This is the new highway of the future and tomorrow. But by 1960s, they're interviewing state police captains saying the highway is already getting overcrowded. So the argument, I think, was made that basically what happened was that the highway oversold itself. Everybody thought, well, I'm going to the supermarket to get a quart of milk. I'm going to just take the Lehigh Valley Thruway, which is what that was called then, and go to the market. And so all these people started to go there. And then, of course, as a lot of people at the time in the mid-50s did not suspect, they thought that you would have the interstate, or rather the Route 22, would be a link to people going from the cities, from Allentown to Harrisburg. That would be what you did, and you wouldn't be on the road for any other reasons. You're going to visit Aunt Sadie in Harrisburg, and you got on the road, and you went to Harrisburg from Allentown. It worked differently because then housing developments and shopping centers grew up along it. They never suspected that, or at least from what I've read, they didn't really understand that commerce abhors a vacuum, and you have these huge open spaces and people going through them, and so therefore they're going to want to build businesses along them. And that's one of the reasons why 22 is what it is today. That's my understanding from some of the things I've read about it.
That's a great point, Frank, in how we used to think about places, you know, back after World War II and into, you know, well into the second half of the 20th century, is we literally thought about them, as communities did, elected officials did, planners did, engineers did, just society did, is, oh, it's just going to help expedite this one thing or this two things.
Right.
Now exactly. We would never think that way, right? Like, we know that if you put in infrastructure, you will have development around it, whether it's sewer and water, whether it's road, whether it's broadband. I mean, if infrastructure is there, whether privately, right, publicly funded or both, it will lead to growth.
Yes. And that was something that if you read the Morning Call or Evening Chronicle from like 1954, the Progress and Prosperity Edition, as they used to call it, they would talk about, oh, this is 10 tedious driving minutes will be shortened by taking these new Route 22. And they were so obsessed. First of all, they wanted to get rid of the streetcars downtown. Then they did that. And then they envisioned people coming through downtown. So like if you were Max Hess, running Hess's department store, you're thinking, great, you know, people are going to be coming downtown, coming into my store, and this would be really great. Well, that didn't happen because people were taking 22 and going outside town. That's why a lot of the stores began to develop other stores outside of downtown. But the business people at that time, in the 50s, didn't see it that way. See, America at that time was really a country of cities. It had a direction that it was going. The city was what you did. You went to the city to go to entertain. You went to the city to work. You went to the office buildings and this kind of thing. And so people didn't really look at the outside of the cities as anything other than the country. And so they sort of ignored it, or not really ignored it, but recreated there. But it was different. It was country and city had definite dividing lines in terms of where they were. And then with the development of the suburbs and the growth of that way, that began.
You know what's really interesting, Frank, is looking at the first plan that the Joint Planning Commission did back, they started it, I guess, in 1961 and completed it in 1963. And you had mentioned this earlier, it was a big partnership with the federal government and the state government to do that. But when you look at that plan, you see Route 22 on there, you see 33 planned, you see I-78 planned. And interestingly enough, the majority of the right-of-way or the biggest road planned is MacArthur Road. In fact, MacArthur Road was planned to be bigger than Route 22 was ever envisioned to need to be at that time. And so that always like shocked me. And when I look at that, I look at that plan periodically just to, you know, level set to understand where we've come from and, you know, help us figure out where we're going. But I mean, your point is right. Then they just chose the suburbs. You know, by 1963, they had made an official decision that we're going to choose MacArthur Road and Whitehall Township as the area of growth, not the cities. And that just
right.
total switch in thinking in just a short amount of time.
Well, they saw the reality. They saw the reality of people using 22. That reality was a space there that needed to be filled. It's interesting, Governor Fine, when he was on that first ride on that first section of 22, was telling the Morning Call, this area here will be forever pristine. It should remain open space, open land. And the photographs that ran with the paper show it. It was, you look at them from then, and it was open. I mean, there was nothing there. There were rolling hills. There were maybe one or two farms and things like that. But it looks like, to the average observer looking at those pictures from our perspective today, like, wow, what? It's empty. You know, where are things? And yet now, of course, even just in the last couple of years, back from the 50s into the 60s, it already growing. And you have what, the Lehigh Valley Mall. You have the variety of malls, but that is what really changed the area. And 22 makes 22 such a popular road. I know Matt's enthusiastic about it because it's not like Pittsburgh, but it's kind of interesting that a lot of people don't look at it quite that way. But people have gotten used to it. A couple of years ago, when I was talking to a fellow who was a planner in another part of the country, he was saying, telling me that at that point, adding more highways will not help, because what it will do is we just get more cars. The more cars will come in on the highway to fulfill the vacuum of empty space. So trying to solve the problem, quote, problem, unquote, of 22 is that you put more lanes in is not going to work. That's what this planner type told me. He's more of an environmentalist type planner than a regular.
But, yeah, okay. Well, you know, he's not entirely wrong, but he's also not entirely right. And I think that gets back to another kind of point that Margaret and I were kind of going back and forth on. Oh, you asked me, why not just widen 22 to relieve the traffic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so how traffic works in reality, because the cool thing is we can like monitor it all the time now. It's not just traffic counters that are embedded in the road itself, but every time you agree to the terms and conditions, when you decide that you're going to use Google Maps or Apple Maps or Waze to get from point A to point B, you're basically allowing them to monitor your movements, and then those are aggregated and sold. Like, you can't figure out what exact an individual's car is doing, but they're sold back, and you can grab that data and use it to do congestion management planning, other things, right? So we know exactly what times of day, how traffic's changing, what types of vehicles, beyond just those permanent counters that we have. And that's important information, because certain areas of a roadway, they reach a max congestion point. And in order to avoid complete gridlock in what transportation planners call system failure, you sometimes do need to add additional lanes. Or like we've done with PennDOT out in Western Lehigh County, it's a great example, where 22 merges into 78, was able to work with Chris Kufro at PennDOT District 5 here in Allentown, and was able to rebuild and pave those shoulders, so they actually allow traffic to move more quickly onto the on and off ramps, right? So that is a form of widening, and that actually has reduced traffic congestion substantially in that location. So there are causes and real ways to add capacity. It could be an existing right-of-way, like the 2278 merge example going westbound or eastbound that I just gave you, but it could be other sections of road, right? But it doesn't necessarily have to be the whole roadway. A lot of really great things to do are to connect on and off ramp structures. That helps people get off the highway faster and on the highway faster, then keeps traffic moving more quickly. So there's things like that that are actually widening that can be done. In some instances, you may even want to actually add an additional lane between certain interchanges because there's just that volume of traffic. And you figure that out not only by the traffic movements and different ways to get to that, which I explained, but you also look at your population density, your employment density, all of those things around there. And when you kind of hit a critical mass, you have to ask yourself, is this going to be worth the investment? But then you also know those areas, instead of just saying, oh, we got to widen it, we got to widen it, because more cars are going through there. That's the reason why you widen it. It's not to relieve traffic in general and make this wide open road that everyone can go 90 miles an hour on. No, 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 no. You know, it's more to relieve absolute system failure and gridlock. But there's other things when you have a lot of traffic on a road that are very important. And I know I'm way in the weeds and I'll pull myself out after I say this, but there's a lot of maintenance in areas where you have a lot of vehicles. The wear and tear is going to be higher on the road itself, on the bridges, on the interchanges. And so you're going to need more investment in those transportation facilities where you have the highest amount of usage. And so 22 is always going to be a place where we invest as long as people keep taking it at the levels that they take it now, and probably more, because we do expect traffic on 22 to increase. Don't shoot the messenger.
So, I promise I won't.
Thank you.
So I want to dovetail off that a little bit. As somebody who travels on 22 at least once a day to and from work, I'm also very cognizant of the times when it's really busy, and I do everything I can to not get on it. So I'll take back roads, or I'll go through the cities to avoid it, because I have this mentality like, we don't need another car on 22. Does that make sense, or is that just causing issues in other places?
Both. Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know I'm going to say something that's really going to be shocking here, folks, but I love to use Google Maps, Apple Maps, and what is the fastest way? And one of the really super nerdy things that I do is, if it says that it's, and I look to see, because sometimes the local routes are just as fast as 22. And yeah. So I kind of like to look at that. Or maybe the local route is 1 minute longer. Maybe another time it's 1 minute shorter. And so I kind of honestly go through, like, how do I feel today? That's literally how I decide where to go. Like, am I okay with accepting things I can't control? And when you get in a car and you're in traffic, you kind of have to accept that, right? You can't let traffic bother you because you can't control it, the other cars around you. But what you can control is your decisions in traffic. So, you know, how I think about it is, all right, am I in the mental headspace where I'm totally cool with, you know, stop and go traffic on a local road and sitting in a bunch of traffic signals? Or am I totally cool with being on 22 and being able to go at a fairly decent clip for a while and then go down to a very slow speed? Very rarely are you totally stopped on 22, especially in comparison to like the Schuylkill Expressway in Philly, or going into New York City, right? So and name a road, any road up there. But at the end of the day, we don't want to end up like either of those regions. And so, you know, what's that fine balance? But one of the things too, because I get a chance to travel around a lot and I pay attention to the roadway system, that I've noticed is, it really doesn't take you longer than 20 to 40 minutes to get to most places in the Lehigh Valley. And when I mean 40 minutes, I'm corner to corner. I've done it during rush hour. And so, you know, I do it a lot during rush hour to try to get to night meetings and to get into different meetings in the morning from, you know, where I live, and to get back and forth between like the Northampton County Courthouse and the Lehigh County Courthouse is literally 20 minutes. And most Monday through Friday scenarios. So I look at it from that perspective. Is it 1 or 2 minutes longer than it was 10 years ago? Yes. But, you know, if you don't run into a wreck, it's that amount of time. And so I just build that into my thinking. And I think that's the important thing, is a lot of times we don't set realistic expectations for ourselves and how long it's going to take to get from point A to point B. And as the region grows, we have to take more time to plan out our movements because they will take longer the more people that come in. And I've joked about this before, but we can't throw or the Loch Ness Monster into the Delaware River and tell people not to move here from New Jersey. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, they have a right to come here too. And those movements between states and between other regions is very important to our economy. So balancing out the transportation system and the individual decisions we make is important, but understanding how it all works, I think, provides as much zen as you're ever going to get in terms of driving on the roadways.
And thank goodness we do have apps like Waze and Google Maps that we can now use. And I do it every time I get in the car, so you're not the only one. I put in my destination to see how long it's going to take me to get there. So a lot less guesswork is needed, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. We didn't have these tools that long ago. And without, you know, really dating myself, they're pretty awesome. And they've been around a bit, but they keep getting better. And the more people move from point A to point B, and the more they create new travel patterns, the more accurate they get. And that helps us plan.
I do want to ask, Frank, you were talking about when it first opened, and I didn't catch the whole story. So I want to go back to that. But, sure. You know, you mentioned there was a lot of excitement and there was a gathering at ABE. Was there some sort of celebration when this opened?
Yeah, it was. It was very much of a celebration, at least to that section of it. The governor had been encouraging it and encouraged these three mayors of Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton to come with him on this ride in his Cadillac. And there was state police on motorcycles and crowds, people lining the way. It was a work day, so it wasn't terrifically huge, but it was a substantial number of people, and the papers covered it heavily. I'm sure that I'm not totally familiar with what the Morning Call's editorial direction was in terms of the individuals involved, but I'm sure that Don Miller probably had a hand in this somewhere along the way. Lehigh Valley Motor Club, Motor Organization, I'm sure, well, they were the ones who were urging it, and I imagine they would probably be made up of the leadership of the community, at least of Allentown, and they would be the ones who saw that the need for this road, as they perceived it, the need for this road to go through. Now, of course, as I said earlier, they did not have to think about the whole concept of what it would change in terms of the cities. Or if they did, they sort of thought, well, they also overlooked that. So, well, that's not really going to be that bad. But eventually, yeah, it became a road, and everybody took it. And as I said earlier, the people started taking it so much that they wanted to live out there, and the area developed. So, as we were saying earlier, they developed eventually the whole area. So,
to people who don't like 22, right now you can get on 22 and you get to the other side of the valley, and you do not stop most times when it's not 4 o'clock. Before 22, okay, you went through 31 traffic.
31. Okay. Well, that's a fun fact.
Yeah. I just wanted to say one kind of final thought on this too. Route 22 is always going to be an investment priority as long as it continues to be the Lehigh Valley's Main Street and take as many vehicles and people and a commerce as it does. We understand that there's challenges. I don't want to, you know, allude to the fact that we don't recognize that, or that the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation would ignore that either. So one of the very cool things that's happened recently, and I want to thank Senator Nick Miller and PennDOT Secretary Mike Carroll, as well as Governor Shapiro, is they've given our region $1 million to figure out what do we do with Route 22 next and come up with a series of maintenance priorities, as well as improvements priorities, to try to address the challenges on 22 in terms of congestion management, safety. We're probably going to throw some stormwater management activity improvements in there as well as part of that scope. I mean, you might have remembered just a few months ago, There was a sinkhole, which was drainage related, right near the 33 interchange in Northampton County. So there's some needs to address some of those things to keep the integrity of the road as well as to improve it. And that should help us, you know, work towards maintaining it as a corridor for everything from people and commerce, but also to emergency management services. Remember, the interstate highway system was built as a national security priority, right? So it still maintains that.
I can remember those days that when I was growing up, that they would show you things about what was going to happen to get people out of the cities. And the interstate highway system was set up for that purpose in case the Russians were going to start dropping the A-bomb on us. And they'd show you little dramas of mothers and children in cars on clogged roads, and tell you this is what, and you having to get out of town because the Russians were coming, and so they clued into the Cold War hysteria too. That was part of the whole idea of the highways, and that's what sold the Congress on it anyway. The state highway system.
Well, thank goodness we don't feel that way about the highway system now, but we see it as integral to everything we do, right? So almost integral to everything we do. But you'll hear more over the next year about the 22 project and figuring out where we go next with improvements to that roadway, along with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. So we're very excited to have those resources to be able to figure out what 22 needs to be, how we maintain it, and how we improve it.
Well, we've just filled 30 minutes talking about the love-hate relationship with Route 22 and how we are not just stuck with it, but we are blessed to have it. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah.
So I do want to thank you, Frank Whelan, for joining us. Thank you, Becky Bradley and Matt Assad, for tonight's program. If you'd like to listen to the program again, you can go to wdiy.org or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, and I hope you have a great evening.